This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
When they come, and they will, they'll come for you.
I have an army.
We have a Hulk. Because if we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Side, for I have brought you to my ultimate Marvel podcast with your Sith Lord hosts, Ronnie Baron and Jack Sutherland. And I have a secret for you, Ronnie. I am your father.
Dang, Ronnie, that sucks, man. Some bad news.
Yeah. It looks like I'm going to have to be fighting the dark side soon.
Dude, so I want to go back to Vader.
Okay.
But I had something crazy happen to me this week that I wanted to mention.
All right.
I know you want to get the news, so I'll make it quick.
No, it's fine.
But have you ever had something happen to you that's like so ironic that it's almost like it was meant to be? So I get my books from Heroes, which is in the center city of Charlotte, North Carolina. They have this big convention every year that some people have heard of, but it's the like biggest store in this area. But I live on the outskirts of town, and it's about a 35-minute drive to go get my books, which isn't a big deal, but you know, once a week, it's like a hour and a half to get there and get back and everything.
Right.
Well, I caught wind that a guy was opening a new store, like right across, well, near my house. That would be about a 5 or 10 minute drive. So I was planning to move my pull list to him. Mm-hmm. And I reached out to him a couple weeks ago just to see what was going on and to learn about his shop. Well, it turns out this guy, the reason he's sort of into comics is because for the last 10 years, he's been running a online comic business for the last 10 years. That's like been his full-time job. He's done really well at it, selling comics online.
Wow.
But he... Now, this isn't the store, but he has a small location where he sells the comics out of and stores everything. And it happened to be literally like right across the street from my house.
Wow.
So literally like it's probably a 5 to 10 minute walk. It's in this little shopping center. It doesn't have a storefront. It's kind of on the back. It's not actual store. It's just where he operates out of.
Right.
So I was like, man, all this time I could have been getting my comics from you and just going right across the street. But so that's not even the crazy part, though. He said, yeah, come over and see what we're doing and whatnot. And so I went over there, I guess, last week or the week before. And I didn't have – Heroes was shorted Thanos. That was the week Thanos came out.
Right.
And I didn't have it, or I was waiting for them to a couple more weeks to get it, which sucks.
Yeah, especially for you because you've been looking forward to it.
Exactly. So I told him he had it. So I was like, I'll pick this up while I'm here. And I was telling him that I'm, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, man, Thanos is kind of my all-time favorite supervillain. And he was like, oh, yeah, you know, me too. And so we got talking about Thanos, and he's a huge Thanos fan. And I was telling him about, I got into the comics in the 90s because of Jim Starlin and because of that, like, Adam Warlock is like my all-time favorite character. And he was like, oh, no way. Me too. And so we went on and on about Warlock. It's like I talked about this before, but it's not very often you meet somebody who's a Warlock, you know, a super Warlock fan.
Right.
And this guy just happens to be one and is opening a comic store right down the street from my house. So anyways, we were talking. And we went back and forth for a while. And then he was like, hey, man, let me show you something. And he took me into the back office of his little operation here. And he had all this Warlock, like, collector items, like comic books that were signed and all this original artwork. And he pulled out this huge, like, portfolio of original artwork from, like, different – I think most of it was from the 90s, but he had a bunch of stuff in there. He had like original artwork from Infinity War.
Wow. And
like, you know, those huge pages that they used to,
right,
you know, do their comics on.
Uh-huh.
And they were signed by Starlin and George Lopez and had Thanos on there and Warlock. And they were all marked up in the margins as they were writing those issues. And I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
So I was totally geeked out. And I'm like, this whole thing is like right under my nose for the past 10 years. I had no idea.
Yeah, you had no clue.
No. What? So I was like, listen, man, I have to get my comic from you now. There's no way.
So you made the switch?
Not yet. His store isn't actually opened yet. Uh-huh. And, you know, they start ordering stuff and they have to order it like 2 months in advance. I'll do it in January, I think.
Right. So the big question is, did you pimp the podcast?
I didn't. But I'm going to. I'm going to. I'll tell him next time I see him.
Well,
next time I see him, we'll be in his new store, and I'll go check it out. But we really hit it off because of the whole, like, Warlock and Thanos connection.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I'll definitely be telling him about this.
Well,
I was thinking, like, maybe we could get him on, but then I was like, oh, what would he bring to the show?
Right. But it's like one of those things, is like, do you talk about how you do a podcast or do you not? You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes it's better left not to say that you do, I guess.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to go down that road.
Right. Yeah, he seemed like a really cool guy, and I think I'll definitely tell him about this and Aftershock.
Cool.
Well, you never know.
Yeah.
Plugging things here and there, you never know what could happen.
Yeah, that's a pretty awesome story, especially since it's like, I can only imagine how excited you were.
Oh, yeah.
Really, because it's, like you said, 5-10 minutes from your house or whatever.
Right.
And then he's as big a fan as you are into...
Well, more so. I mean,
more so, I guess.
I've been reading Warlock and following him, and I have a couple of things, but I don't have all... Of course, I guess when you're selling comics, maybe it makes more sense to run across items like that and purchase
right.
them.
Or maybe more accessible.
Yeah. Yeah, and he has people that buy stuff from him.
Right,
so
right.
It's always a business transaction, I guess.
Right.
Or at least that you could justify it that way.
Right. Yeah. Write it off on taxes.
Yeah. Right. Hey, speaking of Vader, Rogue One comes out in just 2 weeks.
Yep.
Is that in your wheelhouse of things you're looking forward to, or is that too far off the Marvel chart?
No, I'm looking forward to it. But like we talked about in like episode one or whatever, I'm like not a huge Star Wars nut, but like, I mean, I grew up in the Star Wars era. I'm sure like you did, you know?
Yes. Yeah, of course.
But like, I'm not one of those fanatical people. Like, I think I was talking to somebody about it, but like when The Force Awakens came out or was coming mm-hmm. out, I was more excited about that. But since this is like a one and done movie,
yeah.
I want to see it because it is Star Wars, but maybe because it's 2 weeks away still or so,
right.
I'm not as excited as I was for Force Awakens, but... What about you?
Yeah, well, I took my son to see The Force Awakens, and he's 9, and he's seen I take him to most of the Marvel movies too, unless they're just like too intense. So he's familiar with all this stuff, and he saw the first trilogy of Star Wars also. And I was really surprised, like the other day when Rogue One trailer came on the television,
uh-huh.
like he got super stoked about it. Like more excited than I've ever seen him about any like a superhero movie or whatever. So his enthusiasm is a little infectious for me. Now I feel like I want to brush up on my Star Wars.
Right. Well, I think for me, like Rogue One takes place like a week or two before A New Hope, or
right.
you know, maybe even a couple days. So
okay.
it'll be like. There will be some new characters, but, you know, we'll get to see cameos of old characters, too.
Yeah.
I think for me, if it was, say, like...
Well, Vader's in the... seemed like he was featured in the trailer we saw.
Right, right. Because that's the whole... They have to steal the plans for the Death Star for New Hope.
Right, yep.
Basically. But for me, like, if it was a whole different world, you know, like a... not an Elf story, but, you know, the Star Wars Expanded Universe, where it talks about, like, Dash Rendar or Rendar or whatever his name was.
Yeah.
Then I probably would be more excited about it, but since it's already set in the world that we know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Seems like more of the same.
Yeah. And I'm not knocking it at all. I mean, I want to see it, so... And I'm sure it'll probably be good, because... You know, it's Star Wars, and plus the new, you know, we have better visual effects and everything.
Oh yeah.
So.
Yeah, and Force Awakens is great. So.
Right.
It'll should at least piggyback off that. The Star Wars like diehard fans I've talked to seem to be really think it could be even better.
Really.
I mean, I don't have.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too, is because like some people had. Polar reactions to Force Awakens. Like, some people that are Star Wars fanatics, like, really loved it, and some really didn't care for it.
Yeah.
Just, like, the most of the stuff that I heard that was negative was, like, it was a rehashing of the same story, just with new characters.
Right.
And then, on the flip side, that's why people loved it, because it was a rehashing, and, like, enriched the mythos of it. So,
yeah, I probably want to make a good movie critic, because like I just don't think I'd judge them that harshly. Like, if I go to the theater and I enjoy it, then I don't worry too much about nitpicking things that could have been done differently or better. I just want to go in there and have a good time and not be daydreaming or something or falling asleep.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm not a very tough critic.
I agree with that.
So, but what's on the Marvel news
there's some,
agenda today?
Like, at the end of last episode, we were talking about the Inhumans TV show that was coming out.
Yeah.
Later in 2017.
Yeah, and we talked about this afternoons, I guess, but S.H.I.E.L.D. seemed like it's segueing into that a little bit.
Well, that's part of the news that I was going to talk about, actually.
Oh, right on.
As we said last time, I have hard facts now, though. The first two episodes will air in IMAX, and each one is approximately 80 minutes.
Okay.
And wow. It will screen in 1,000 IMAX theaters across 74 countries.
Wow. That sounds like a lot. I don't know how many IMAX theaters there are, though.
Right. The series also is not regarded as a spinoff to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which introduced, as we know, the concept for Inhumans on television.
Right.
So...
Like, does that mean it doesn't tie in at all, or it just doesn't?
Well, I mean, that's pretty vague right now. So I'm assuming at the beginnings of this new show that they probably won't tie in, but that's not saying that they won't ever. That's how I read it.
I would think they'd have to at least, like, plug some characters. Like, even if Daisy isn't in it or featured in it, then they have to at least plug some characters or something to...
Right, yeah. Well, and...
But when is it coming out again?
Late 2017, I think.
Okay, that's not too far.
No. And it's also noted that this deal is not the excuse for the reason why the feature film was previously pulled from the MCU schedule.
Okay. But it could be kind of like an after effect.
Right.
Like, I don't think they would be doing that if there was a movie.
Right. And reportedly, even though they're keeping stuff close to their vest right now, because you know how Marvel is about casting spoilers and stuff.
Right.
The front runner to play Black Bolt is former WWE superstar Cody Rhodes.
Oh, no. Okay. Wait.
Which he played Derek Sampson on Arrow. Two episodes this season. This season of Arrow.
How was he? I don't watch Arrow.
He was okay. I mean, you know, it is what it is with, like, the superhero shows that are actually on cable. Like, we've talked about, you know, the acting and whatnot. So, I mean, he wasn't terrible by no means. I just can't picture him as Black Bolt.
Yeah, like, well, he doesn't have to talk. So maybe that's...
Well, I just meant, like, facial features, I guess, is when I picture Black Bolt, he's not who I picture, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't want to do fan casting and all that. I was just bringing up the TV news and, like, who's reportedly in the front running to play Black Bolt.
Huh. I would think Black Bolt, I mean... I guess it doesn't have to be a great character, because it has to be somebody that you don't care if they have a speaking role, right?
Right.
I mean, if it's somebody that people love, then you want them to be in a position where they're able to talk and whatnot.
Right.
Like Medusa, if she's in it, I would think they have to really get somebody strong there.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And like it's the TV show, so you're gonna have the TV type actor, I guess,
mm-hmm.
or maybe a relative unknown to play him. Anyway,
yeah, not movie polished.
Yeah, not like Vin Diesel, who was rumored to play Black Bolt for the movie or whatever. But that's all for TV news that I got. I got some news about comic books, upcoming comic books, which is I'm kind of excited about, but not really. Overly excited.
Is it Ghost Rider?
No, it is not Ghost Rider.
Okay. Well, I know that's coming up, so. Well, that came out yesterday.
Yeah, it came out. Which I read, which we can touch on here in a little bit.
Okay.
I was kind of disappointed about it.
Uh-oh.
But, Iceman gets a solo book. Did you see that?
I think I did see that. I don't know if I...
I'm bringing this up because, which the book is by Sina Grace and Alessandro Vito.
Yeah.
I think is how you pronounce his name. If not, I just butchered it. but it's focusing on how he's dealing with being a gay superhero.
Okay.
Which is going to be... It's going to get thrown automatically into that troll internet hate already. But here's the interesting, or the more interesting part that is the reason why it caught my eye. The series will also address the fact that he's a Omega-level mutant, one of the most 12 powerful mutants in the world, potentially.
Hmm. Is he? Historically, though?
I never thought so.
I never did either.
You know, so, I mean, if you sit there and think about 12 mutants, he's not really in my top 12.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if that's the kick or the plug or the gimmick to sell the book.
Yeah, well, he is now.
Yeah, right. But this is also a part of a bigger picture, which will take place after Inhumans vs. X-Men. And
okay. Yep, and he's in that.
Uh-huh.
Did you read Zero?
I have not yet.
Okay. I actually just read it last night, and he's definitely featured in that, so I guess I could see what you're saying.
Which the next three books that we're talking about, plus this one, and maybe potentially another book that hasn't been announced yet, is a part of a Resurrection series of X-Men books where the X-Men are more prominently featured in the comic universe again after taking, I guess, a hiatus, which they really didn't.
Tell me about that.
What do you mean?
What is it going to explain it? What is it going to be?
The Resurrection series.
Yeah.
Well, there, like I said, Iceman solo book is a part of that, and then Generation X is coming back after a 15-year hiatus, which is going to be a part of the Resurrection series, which is written by Christina Strawn, and it'll have Jubilee as the leader of a group of teen mutants who doesn't fit in the your standard teams.
Okay, like the young Beast, young Cyclops, because they're in Inhumans vs. X-Men too, so they're definitely setting the stage for
but
this stuff.
It's not going to be those. It's going to be more.
Okay.
It's going to be more that you. I would say that haven't had a prominent role yet, and maybe even a couple of new characters, because then we have X-Men Gold and X-Men Blue, which X-Men Gold is written by Mark Gunningham.
Okay.
And it'll star Storm, Colossus, Nightcrawler, Old Man Logan, and Rachel Gray, with Kitty Pryde as the team leader. And then you have X-Men Blue, who is written by Cullen Bunn, and you'll have the young Cyclops, Iceman, Beast, and Angel. Jean Grey will be the leader of the team, but they'll also have Magneto as a mentor figure for this book.
Not as a villain.
Right. And this book, or these two books, X-Men Gold and X-Men Blue, will ship twice monthly starting in April of 2017.
Okay. Well, Blue sounds a little more interesting to me, because I think like what, and you know, I'm not a huge X-Men fan, but my perception is that what people really want is like a strong team book, X-Men book. Yes. I don't know if people care as much about all these little character stories and whatnot.
Right. So hopefully this sets the foundation of X-Men going back to the way they were like in the 90s.
Huh.
Because, tidbit for you, they tried X-Men Gold and X-Men Blue back in the 90s when they restarted X-Men 1 and Uncanny X-Men 281, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think X-Men number 1 in 91, you know, the famous 8-cover one with Jim Lee doing the art.
Yeah.
Was the blue team, and the Uncanny one was the gold team.
Right.
But that only lasted a couple of years, and then they just merged the books, or the two teams, back together.
Huh.
So that's kind of cool. It's to me, it's cool because they're trying to go back to that whole situation.
Yeah. What's interesting to me, I'm curious how this all plays out, because one thing I realized while reading the zero issue of Inhumans vs. X-Men, which I've actually noticed for a while, I just haven't thought much about it, but it felt like Marvel has slowly been turning mutants into like bad guys and Inhumans into good guys, with the exception of Beast, who's right now working with Inhumans.
Right.
But my impression of the Inhumans in the past were always that they were kind of a little bit unreasonable at times, and they're just kind of doing their own thing with little regard for the rest of humanity that weren't Inhumans, where the X-Men were more of the heroes in the past.
And then, like diplomats and stuff, right? Yeah.
But in the last few stories, the X-Men seem kind of misunderstood by everyone, and they're always... I guess they're sort of rushing into fights without always understanding what's going on and coming up with these conniving plans, at least in the last couple stories. So it seems like I thought maybe they're doing that to continue to try to elevate the Inhumans and downplay the X-Men because of movie rights, but it sounds like maybe that's not the case, and this will turn around somehow.
Well, now that you brought that up, I was going to bring that up. So that was a good segue.
We're on the same mind waves today.
Because, see, I think you're right. And I think there's more politicking going on that happened, like, way back when Fox and MCU had that huge debate or whatever. And so then they were like, okay, well, we're just gonna kill off the X-Men, right?
Yeah.
And not make them prominent in the comic book world anymore. Well, since Captain America Civil War, where now Fox, or is it Sony? I guess it's Sony. Sony kind of bridged the gap between the MCU and the separate companies that own separate characters, right? Because they got Spider-Man on loan.
Okay. Yeah, right.
But then, like, for Guardians of the Galaxy 2, they had to trade characters with Fox because Negasonic Warhead Teenager, I think, Negasonic Warhead, whatever her name was actual MCU character.
Oh, really?
That they traded to be able to use a character that's coming up in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Okay. Which, do you know? Any idea?
Which is the living planet that Kurt Russell will play.
Oh, right, voices. Right.
So it seems that those burnt bridges are being rebuilt again. And this is like an attempt to bring them back into the comic book world again as a stronghold.
Yeah.
And which, I mean, everybody wins, right?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody wins on the comic side. Everybody wins on the movie side. So, and as much as you screwed them around, I guess, in the books for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And then now you're trying to, which the whole Death of X series before many, and now the Inhumans versus X-Men, and then now this new resurrection type stuff, which is kind of cool. And I think it'll bring, because like here, this is like what we were talking about. The X-Men blue and gold, right?
Yep.
It's pretty much the standard teams. With the older characters, right? That we all know and love and grew up
with. Yeah.
But you're not shunning the new readers or the teeny readers because now you have a Generation X book that you're bringing back where they can be a part of that world as well. So it's like everybody gets a piece of that cake.
Yeah. Huh. See, I thought the newer generation is what they were pushing Inhumans for, though.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. It's just my opinion, but I don't think you need a bunch of Inhuman books and a bunch of mutant books.
No, you don't.
And I'm a little bit different probably than the average Marvel fan because I think most people have a nostalgia for X-Men and they want to see X-Men doing well. And I don't meet many people that really care that much about Inhumans. But like you're saying, that's where they're making their money in other areas.
Right.
So.
And see, and we'll see. For the last 4 or 5 years or so now, it seems like the whole Marvel Universe had to pick between Inhumans and X-Men. Even though, if you think about it, it's basically they're the same kind of
right.
Mutant, I guess, so even though they're not mutants, but.
Yeah, it's the same. I don't know.
To me,
you take Inhumans, X-Men, DC's Metahumans, or like Valiant, Psy-Ops, or whatever. They're all the same to me.
Right.
They're people that go through some transformation as a group and have powers.
Yeah. And are hated, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
Or feared, I guess. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's my whole thing is like the Marvel Universe is huge. So why can't you have both of them?
Yeah.
You know, and both be prominent for one reason or another.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and wouldn't it be more interesting if they are both prominent and not liked each other, but were superheroes or heroes?
I don't know. To me, it's a little too convoluted. It's like with Valiant. What if they had PsyOts and then now all of a sudden they came out with something else that was just like a PsyOt, but they just got their powers through a different medium.
Different means, right.
Right, and then you're like, oh, do we really need this?
Yeah, I can
But the problem is, like, even though they're so similar, fans can't make a transition from one to the other.
You can't differentiate, right?
Right. Like, I don't know. Take any of the prominent, like Iso. She's been a prominent Inhuman lately in the last few stories.
Uh-huh.
If she was an X-Men, like, would you know any difference?
Right.
You wouldn't care. But, you know, as fans, we're nostalgic, so it's hard to make that leap, I guess.
Well, and I think the big mistake with that was when they brought the Inhumans to Earth. Like, because they used to be on the dark side of the moon.
Yeah.
Right? As their home base or whatever. And so now that you have the mutants and the Inhumans living on Earth, say, and in America, I mean, it's different.
Right.
It's different if they lived in Siberia or Ireland or wherever, you know. Now
or at least somewhere outside of New York City. Like, everybody has to be in New York or close by.
Right.
Speaking of Inhumans, did you see S.H.I.E.L.D. yesterday or 2 days ago?
I did not.
Hey, was there any more comic news, by the way?
Nope, that was it. That was the big ones, I would say.
I thought S.H.I.E.L.D. was awesome. Actually, this might have been one of my favorite episodes.
Really?
And I won't spoil it for you, but I will tell you this. Like, they do this sort of remember in Stranger Things, the way – I don't remember the boy, the main character that went missing. I don't remember his name.
Right.
But remember how he was missing and he was in another dimension.
Uh-huh.
And he could kind of do things. Nobody could see him, but he could see them.
Right.
And he could – you know, subtly do things that they would notice, like when he was flipping on and off the lights.
Right.
But they couldn't, you know, touch him, or he was in that different dimension. They do something like that in this episode of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I thought was really cool. And I didn't, you know, that is a little bit of a spoiler, because you don't know that for like the first 15 minutes of the show. And it totally threw me off guard. But it was awesome. I can't say any more now because I don't want to
Well, I will probably watch it later on tonight, but...
Yeah. And I think you'll like... Because
Ghost Rider's back, right?
Yeah, and I think you'll like what they do with him. They have some interesting spinoff of his character.
Okay. Which, he had a new number one comic come out this week.
Yeah. Speaking of comics.
Yeah.
What? How was it?
For me... I'm not going to spoil it because I'm sure some people listening to this haven't read it yet, or maybe not plan to, since it's, you know, the week that it came out.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't enough Ghost Rider in it, or Robbie, or Robbie for that matter.
Yeah.
But.
Well, it's the first issue.
Yeah.
Haven't read it yet.
You haven't read it yet?
Okay. No.
Because it's like... I'm trying to think of how not to spoil it, but like, you have like three different plots going on, or three different things going on at the same time, but they never connect.
Yeah.
So you have Robbie's plot, and then you have another character's plot, and another character's plot.
But does it seem like it's something that will connect within the arc, or maybe not?
One character, maybe, but the other character, I'm just like, why is this even in here? You know?
Gotcha.
Maybe just because they want to push the character.
Yeah.
That character, that specific one, I don't know, but...
Huh. Well, so you're a Ghost Rider fan, and you weren't blown away by the first issue.
Yeah. Well, and that's the only thing. Like, if you're going to give me a Ghost Rider comic, at least make it 3/4 Ghost Rider.
I'd like that has to change, I would think, though.
Well, I like the backup story better than I did the initial story.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I kind of had the same way when Thanos. Did we talk about Thanos last time?
No.
You read it, right?
Yep.
And I was sort of the same way. Like, I'm a big Thanos fan. And I don't know if it's my expectations were high, but I wasn't blown. I mean, the first issue wasn't bad. I mean, it was kind of an interesting start, but on its own, it didn't blow me away or anything.
I would say it's a first issue. I mean, that's the best thing I can do, is because a lot happened, but not a lot happened.
Right.
And it was just building up to where it's
going. It's setting up something.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And I kind of felt the same way about Inhumans vs. X-Men, the Zero issue. It was kind of like, it felt the same way. Actually, it's a Zero issue, so it's setting up something. But on its own, didn't really blow me away either.
Without major spoilers, what about Death of X as a series? How did you like it? Because I've heard mixed reaction on the social media.
I enjoyed reading it, but it wasn't anything. It kind of felt a little bit like Extraordinary X-Men.
Okay.
Maybe a little better. But I read that. I mean, I always expect a lot from Jeff Lemire just because he's put out so many crazy off-the-wall stories that are engaging and that I'm so into. Mm-hmm. And since his name was on the title, you know, he's co-writing it with Charles Soule.
Right.
I expect a lot out of it. And it was it disappointed me a little bit, but I didn't think it was bad. You know, if Lemire's name wasn't on it, I probably would have
passed on it.
No, if his name wasn't on it, I probably would have enjoyed it more.
Oh.
My expectations might have been set a little too high.
Okay.
Did you read it? Read it, of course.
Yeah.
You like it?
I did, up until like the last couple pages.
And I know why.
Yeah.
I didn't care so much about that.
You know, I was just like, really?
Is that because you're a big X-Men fan, or because of being an X-Men fan?
No, not really.
No?
It was just, it felt like an easy way out, kind of. Everything that was set up was...
You talking about the death?
Yeah. I mean...
That's a good segue into something else I wanted to mention, but go ahead.
No, that's pretty much all I'm going to say, because if not, then I'll spoil the hell out of it, so...
Yeah, right. Well, we've already said that much. I won't say who, but somebody dies in it.
Yeah.
And so Hulk died recently also in Civil War, and they kill characters, especially like characters that people like, to create this sort of dramatic effect.
Yes.
But so they were talking to us on, like, people that are listening to this that don't know what Nerdy Legion is. This podcast is a network with other podcasts, and there's one for Rebirth and Aftershock, and there's also one for Valiant called Valiant Central Podcast. And they were talking about us on there a little bit. By the way, this isn't about the death thing, but I didn't know, but Martin said he didn't want to do a Marvel podcast originally. Did you know that?
Yeah.
He did. He was totally against it, but we talked him into it. Yeah. So we forced his hand somehow.
And our download numbers have been fantastic.
Yeah.
So
he's happy. He's happy with it now. He said he enjoyed it. So that was good to hear. But they were talking about how characters dying in Valiant, and they were contrasting it to Marvel and other publishers. And we had a conversation about this on Slack, about how when characters die in comics, they never stay dead.
Right.
And some fans really don't like that, and others, you know, just accept it. You know, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. But like I mentioned, Hulk, for example, that was recently killed. Mm-hmm. And as much as they tried to make it like this big dramatic event, I think it's safe to say that Bruce Banner won't be dead forever, right?
Right. And there's already a new Hulk as well.
Yeah. But now with Valiant, they claim that when their characters die, they stay dead.
Mm-hmm. Dead means dead.
And some of us on Slack, I don't know if you were in this conversation or not, but we were talking with Martin and Paul, the host of that podcast. And we were throwing out names of characters that did die, and or at least seemed to go through some sort of death and then came back in some fashion.
Right.
And so anyways, on their podcast, they took about 30 minutes to explain why those deaths don't count. And on one hand, their arguments were very logical and totally made sense. But on the other hand, when I was thinking about this, if you have a hard and fast rule that takes like 30 minutes to justify it, then maybe the rule is a little looser than what you're advertising. And I wanted to hear your opinion about this because, like, I can explain many of the Marvel deaths in similar ways. Like, for example, my go-to character, Warlock.
Right.
Valiant fans are okay with the Eternal Warrior dying and returning because that's like his thing. He's eternal. He comes back. It's what he does.
Right.
Well, part of Warlock's character design is that when he dies, he goes into like a cocoon stasis and regenerates. And when he comes back, he's different. Or Logan, who's back right now, after dying 2 years ago, but it's not the same exact Wolverine. He's sort of a future, older version that we're still unclear about. Plus, Wolverine's healing factor make him able to kind of come back from death blows akin to the way like Valiant's character Bloodshot does. So it's hard to ever count those guys as completely, dead.
Right. Now, wait. Let me stop you right there real fast.
Sure.
Sorry to interrupt, but Old Man Logan, what are we still unclear about?
About why he's back or where he's from. Even he's kind of...
Because Mark Millar did the first Old Man Logan series, and it took place in the future.
Right.
And then he got thrust into the past, which is present time. Which took place in this series now, where he had the list of the bad guys, so he was trying to change his future. Right.
But he remembers a past that
he remembers his past that's not this past, right?
Is that
what you're saying? Like right. A multiverse type thing?
Maybe. We don't know. But it seems like he's remembering a past that the current projection of Logan wasn't going to.
I see what you're saying. So like a parallel type.
Yeah. There's something weird going on with his coming back.
Right. Well, right, yeah. I agree with that.
And I don't know what it is. If you do, let me know. I keep thinking Lemire's going to spill the beans, but hasn't happened yet.
Nope, it has not. Okay, now back to the dead is dead thing. Sorry.
Yeah.
My thought on it, I sent out a thing that I stole from... Daryl, I think. Daryl posted it. Daryl Taylor, right?
Uh-huh.
That showed the Marvel universe in real time.
Yeah, who we need? I think we should have on this podcast sometime, by the way.
Daryl?
Yeah.
No way.
No way.
No, I'm just kidding. yeah, because he loves the X-Men too, so like, I know that he's hopeful that with these books coming back that they'll go back to the way they were, but he's also
right
already been burned. You know what I'm saying? So he's kind of skeptical about it.
Yeah.
Now on this, let's see, Marvel Comics. It has 1961 is when it started.
Okay.
I don't know that 100% for sure or not, but that's when. That's when this timeline started. Okay.
Now, they started in 39, but it was Timely Publications or whatever before they rebranded.
Right.
So I'm not sure if the timeline started before 61, but go ahead.
So as this timeline, and to the dead is dead theory, your first character death is Charles Xavier in 68. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1970, he comes back.
Okay.
And then in 71, Wonder Man dies, and he comes back in 75.
Yeah.
And then somewhere, Elektra either dies or comes back in 83.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 86 is the Phoenix Saga, so that's when Jean Grey dies, I guess. But then, in 1987, Jim Shooter was forced out or fired from Marvel, right?
Right.
So then, in 87, then 2 years later, like from 89 to 2010, there's like nonstop people dying and coming back.
Yeah.
So like up until like 87, it was almost like a rarity that somebody would die or come back.
Yeah.
But then like I would say late 89, early 90, then you know you had Thanos and Drax that died and came back, and you had Adam Warlock and Gamora from the Infinity Gauntlet part. Yeah. Like where almost everyone dies.
Yeah. But now they come back, but there's a reason.
No, yeah.
And they don't, like, even though you mentioned Drax, he didn't come back the same way. Like, right. The first time he came back, or he was reborn, he was, like, brain dead almost.
Right. Well, and that's what I was saying, is, like, for Marvel, per se, pre-1990, I think it was more dead is dead, unless we can figure out a logical way to bring them back.
Yeah.
But then, like, in the 90s, of course, the 90s comics boom happened, and some of the deaths were gimmicky.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
To sell books. Because, you know, like, on the flip side, in the 90s, that's when Superman died, and Batman was broken, you know. So, I was just saying here more recently, that's kind of been the thing, is...
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of people are like, have gotten that conception of, well, dead doesn't really mean dead anymore.
Yeah.
Just because since the 90s, it's been
right.
A story arc, basically, instead of a big deal like it should be.
Yeah.
Not justifying one way or another. I'm just, that was just my.
Now, do you think Valiant does a good job of that? That's really how this conversation started, because to them, Valiant, I mean, they're saying that death to them is sacred, like what you were saying Valiant was pre-90s.
Right.
I mean, Marvel.
Yes, but I don't know, here lately, I can't really make that call for Valiant. Because of a storyline that happened, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, dead used to mean dead for them, but, I mean, there's wiggle room where they can get out of it and then still be dead as dead,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, and their argument was, you know, that's what a lot of people were saying. It seems like they've opened doors to that, but until they actually do it,
mm-hmm.
until they actually violate the rule, then... We can't, you know, use that argument.
Right.
So,
to answer your initial question, how do I feel about it? Like, okay, like, for me, prime example is Bucky Barnes, right?
Yeah.
When he came back in the Captain America, mm-hmm. that whole story was awesome and really well done. To me.
Yeah. Right.
So to bring Bucky back, some people would moan and groan about it. But yeah. If you're going to bring a character back that's been long-standing dead, at least...
Make it good.
Yes, at least make it good.
Right.
Now, like with like Wolverine, say, or even Doc Ock, you know, dead for a year or two really isn't really that compelling once they come back.
Yeah, that's the thing. If there's not a consequence to dying, then it doesn't matter anymore when you kill characters.
Right.
And I don't think anybody would argue that, like, Marvel characters come back too easily and sometimes without good reason.
Right.
But the only other thing I'll say is that, as you just mentioned out, like, Marvel started 39, 61. But, I mean, they've been putting out stories for 55 to 75 years.
Uh-huh.
Whereas Valiant Entertainment started, what, 2012?
Yeah, VEI did, yeah.
Yeah, puts out like 10 bucks a month. So maybe in 20 years we have this conversation again and we'll see if they've see if they've cheated a little bit. But maybe they won't. I presume that they will have, though, because especially if they're running a bigger ship at that point, instead of just the 8 to 9 bookmark. But maybe they will. I don't know.
Cause,
we'll see.
Well, I mean, like, because you gave a good example, like Warlock. It makes sense for his character to die and be put on the shelf for a while and then come back.
Yeah, and he's not. He's sort of like the Vision in that he's not completely human to begin with.
Right.
He's sort of created, manufactured to begin with. So.
I mean, because, you know, there's both sides to that argument, too, because there are characters that died for no reason.
Right.
Or maybe the impact of their death was more emotional than their resurrection, say.
Yeah.
Their resurrection story. Because when their resurrection story felt cheapened, I guess.
Yeah. True. Oh, man. I say we get to some listener email and then wrap it up.
Okay, I have
what do you think?
I have an also enough said recommendation, throwback recommendation arc too.
I forgot about that.
Let's answer some questions first.
Okay. What you got?
Oh, I thought you had the questions.
Oh, okay. I got one question.
Oh, well, yeah, okay.
So, from Martin. So here's what he said. All of Jack's love for Adam Warlock, totally with you, by the way, has me thinking, why do you guys think the comic side of Marvel Universe hasn't received much love for the past decade? I know there have been books which featured some characters, but none have felt like the heart and soul of what made some of those early cosmic stories. The last time I feel like that part of the Marvel Universe received any real attention was Annihilation. So what gives? That's his question. You want to take a shot at?
Yeah. So, like...
Annihilation was 2006, right? So that's the past 10 years, I guess.
Yeah. And see, and I think it's like one of those... niche, say, things as to where sometimes the cosmic stuff has its, like, cult classic fan following.
Right.
But it doesn't sell overall great. Like, for example, like, Guardians of the Galaxy, the movie came out, and so then they pushed the Guardians of the Galaxy books, right? Mm-hmm. Which isn't receiving record number sales.
Right.
And it does, and that's not really saying whether the story's great or not. Because, I mean, that's debatable either way you stand on it.
Yeah.
I don't, there for a while, like, they're really, I mean, besides the older core characters, like with Annihilation, and I mentioned last episode that Annihilation is, like, one of my favorite events in Marvel, period. I don't know. I mean, that's a good question, because I don't really know, besides of the whole niche audience type thing, as to why it doesn't sell, so it doesn't sell, so then they shelf it again.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I also think it probably has something some direct connection to the movie universe. So I was looking at, I was kind of going through what the comics, which comics have came out since then, and looking at the movies that have come out over the last 10 years. And he mentioned Annihilation, which was 2006. Mm-hmm. Well, Iron Man came out 2 years after that, in 2008. And I've read that before Iron Man, Marvel did have like a long-term plan to create character films and eventually merge them into the larger cinematic universe we know now. But it wasn't something that happened like organically. But Hickman took over the Fantastic Four title in 2009, right. I thought his run was great. But he took over in issue 570. They were still ongoings at that point. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Yeah, I'm listening.
And that's when he started flirting with the incursion event that went through Secret Wars and all that. But here's where I think it gets interesting is the first Avengers movie came out in 2012. And this is when the Marvel Cinematic Universe started merging everything together. Well, coincidentally, Hickman also started writing Avengers in his Avengers title in 2012, the same year. So, I mean, it's not coincidence, I think, that Marvel's like star writer at the time had his incursion storyline switch from Fantastic Four, which they don't have the movie rights to an Avengers title, which was the flagship of their cinematic universe. But to make a long story short, like I think their emphasis has been on characters that fit the kind of that Avengers mold.
Right.
Because that's what's driving their movies, right, with the exception that you mentioned of Guardians of the Galaxy. But that, by the way, has had pretty consistent titles since the movie also, it seems like.
Yeah.
But now, not to answer a question with the question, but what's super interesting to me is that with Infinity War movie coming in 2018, if it holds true to the comics, I mean, it should be a very cosmic story.
Right.
So I'm wondering at that point, could we see more of an emphasis on comic stories in the comics, maybe even starting with this new Thanos title, if that's the direction the movies go.
Right. Yeah. And Nova, Richard, yep, Rider Nova, for that matter, is getting another series.
Yeah.
Here soon. So it seems like, and Black Bolt is coming back as a solo too.
Right. So,
but, and see, that's one of the things that I touched on, like when we were talking about the news part, is like we're with the Inhumans, you could almost consider them.
Yeah, they're not really.
Not really cosmic, yeah, but cosmic, you know, because they were in outer space.
Their origin is definitely cosmic.
Yeah. But now that you brought them back to Earth, then they're not really cosmic anymore. And it kind of takes the uniqueness out of it.
Interesting. I wonder if the TV show, which way they'll go with it, if it's not going to tie into S.H.I.E.L.D., or if it's only loosely tied in, then they could maybe take it either way.
Right. I have a question from a listener, too.
Okay.
That DM'd me on the Twitter machine. This is from Chad Nelson, which is also a friend of mine that lives in a different state. But anyway, he wants to know what our opinions are on the current state of Marvel books. He says that DC, and he's never particularly been a DC fan, is tearing it up with the whole Rebirth thing.
Mm-hmm.
What can Marvel do to be like the Marvel that we grew up on?
Interesting. Now, I've heard that a lot. And I've never been a DC fan either.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first time, Rebirth is the first time I've actually got in. I'm only reading two Rebirth titles now. I dropped a couple other ones. But this is the first time I've ever been able to sort of stick with a DC title.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not because it's bad. It's just it wasn't my thing, so I didn't connect to it. But I will say, Marvel sales are still above the seas, aren't they? Last time I looked.
They've been battling back and forth, actually.
Have they?
The last couple of months. I think, actually, last month was the first month that Marvel actually beat them out.
Yeah. And we've talked about this before, and the difference to me, and I said before that I think it's, again, it's also because of the movie universe, which I don't know, maybe it's the wrong direction for Marvel, because if, like you said, Guardians of the Galaxy isn't selling great, but yet that's one of their best movies, then maybe there's more of a disconnect between the two than they think. But I talked about this before, where the comics, to me, that are really good in the Marvel Universe are these, like, fringe characters. And, I mean, it's, to me, for me, it's Old Man Logan and Moon Knight and Daredevil. Mm-hmm. It's not the Avengers and the Fantastic Four or even the X-Men. Those core characters that everybody loves from the past aren't what's driving the universe. And I think that's... If fans didn't care as much about characters and they just said, okay, what's the best stories in Marvel, and they were reading stuff like Moon Knight, then I think that perception would be different. And I don't know if that's going to change or what. I mean, it seems like Marvel's kind of just doing things differently right now. Nothing about what Marvel's doing right now has led me to believe that they're going to do some sort of rebirth where all of a sudden we have these new... a new Avengers title and a new Fantastic Four, and it's this new direction of taking things back to the way it was when people loved it before. I have no reason to believe that they're going to do anything like that.
Well, they do have new number ones.
New number ones, but I mean, because not of even, those even four if titles.
Well, even if they're not a number one, have you noticed that the number one has been put on the cover? Like, even if it's a number one of the story arc?
Yeah, with...
Right.
It has two numbers, but it's still not the same, though, right?
Right, yeah. Here's my answer to that question. And I think DC, with the whole DC rebirth, has the whole universe synced again, in continuity, as to where with Marvel, everything's more spread out.
Right.
And it doesn't feel like it's a shared universe as much as, say, Rebirth does. Like, for example, with Death of X, right? Will we see stuff happen that affects Spider-Man, either or?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Or Old Man Logan, or... Oh, of course it will with Old Man Logan, because he's a mutant. But, like... Or Daredevil, or Luke Cage, or Iron Fist. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it just seems like stories are plucked out of time, like, out of a time period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not actually... Which is fine, to a certain extent. And I know you and I have had offline conversations about it. Because, I mean, continuity to me... is okay, but it doesn't have to be there. Now, do I want all my characters, you know, in the same universe? Yeah, because it's easy or cool when a new toy goes into the sandbox. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I guess that's my roundabout answer. Marvel feels more spread out and not connected as like DC does.
Yeah. Well, okay. So here's the thing. Here's what I'm trying to say, though. If you asked anybody what the best rebirth titles are, what would they say? Most people say?
Batman, Superman, probably.
Right.
Detective, action.
Yeah. Right. Now, what if Batman and Superman were just kind of okay, but like Blue Beetle was killing it? And, you know, I don't know, Catwoman was killing it.
Right.
Would people still think Rebirth was
successful as it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Like, take the same high quality books and just switch them to lesser known titles.
Right.
And And that's what I'm saying is going on with Marvel. You don't have Avengers as your best stuff. You don't have a key X-Men title as your driving your universe. You don't have Fantastic Four. And they're titles that people aren't reading. So I don't think there's necessarily the stories aren't as good as Rebirth.
Right.
And I guess that ties into what you're saying also with the universe maybe being a little bit more a little bit more together with Rebirth right now, so they can have those flagship titles right. Sort of steering the ship.
Well, and yeah, I agree with you. Like, there's no flagship title for Marvel that's tearing it up, really.
Right.
I mean, yeah, Rebirth has books that are tearing it up too that are on the fringe, like Deathstroke, for example, or, you know, Green Lanterns or something like that.
Yeah.
But like you said, like, your favorite Marvel titles are the fringe ones.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't really necessarily play in the bigger picture of
right.
The whole Marvel universe.
Yeah, and I think most people, like, most people would say that. The people I know that don't read Marvel, but or that don't read it like as much as we do,
mm-hmm.
The titles that they do read are those sort of fringe titles.
Right.
And they're like, I don't really care about the rest of the universe.
And I think that's what, like, Chad was talking about. Like, when we were growing up, the Marvel universe was more in sync.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, with Executioner Song in the 90s, you know, Spider-Man or Daredevil, say, felt that...
Yeah.
That crossover event, even though it didn't necessarily tie into their books, but, you know, they still felt it. Or when a character showed up in their books, like Wolverine, say, because he showed up in every book in the 90s, it seemed like.
Yeah.
But, like, he still had that mind frame from that event.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's
yeah.
A great question. So you want to wrap up with your weekly suggestions?
Yeah. Actually, since we had that last question, mine actually takes place outside of the initial Marvel universe, and it's
okay.
It's kind of a what if series.
Yeah.
It was a limited series that was published in 2006 and 2007, and it was written by J. Michael Straczynski and illustrated by Tommy Lee Edwards. And it was a 6-part mini called Bullet Points. Have you read that?
No, I thought you were going to go newer.
Oh, nope.
Gotcha.
I
don't know the rules of this.
Oh, I was just—it's just something back, you know.
Gotcha.
And it was—it got put out under the Marvel Knights imprint.
Okay.
And the whole concept of this story is awesome. So this is why I recommend it. The doctor that injected Steve Rogers,
mm-hmm.
The Super Soldier Serum. What if? And this is kind of where it plays on the bullet points, too, because the whole Marvel Universe, as we know, it has basically bullet points, right?
Yeah.
So what if the Doctor gets assassinated before he gets to inject Steve Rogers into the serum, and then that vial breaks? So then Steve Rogers can't become Captain America. And also, his bodyguard, which is an MP... is Ben Parker, who also gets assassinated. See, so now Steve Rogers doesn't get to become Captain America, and he's too scrawny to be a soldier.
Right.
So then he becomes a different Marvel character.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, and then you have Peter Parker, whose parents still die, but instead of having been there to teach him to learn great power comes great responsibility, becomes a different character. And so it's like this one event changes like the whole Marvel universe as we know it.
Yeah.
And like I said, there's like bullet points there of key stuff that happens. Like there's still a Spider-Man. There's still
right.
Hulk. they're still an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Because it's not Nick Fury, but there's still somebody that's prominent in the Marvel Universe that becomes the Nick Fury character. So, and you would like it because in the last two issues, Silver Surfer and Galactus show up.
Oh, great.
Because that was one of the main events that happened in the Marvel Universe, in the real Marvel Universe, is when Galactus and Silver Surfer first showed up.
Awesome.
So, I definitely, if you have Marvel Unlimited,
it just blew my mind.
Yeah, it's on Marvel Unlimited, so if you have Marvel Unlimited, check it out. It's also on Comixology.
Awesome.
But yes, it really is a great six-issue series. At least I enjoyed it because, like I said, I mean, I'm not trying to hard sell it because I know it didn't get a lot of love back when it came out because it kind of is one of those what-if stories.
Yeah.
But since, you know, the Marvel Universe is in the state of flux that it's in right now, it's kind of cool to go back and actually see. And everything that the chain reaction is logical.
Yeah.
You know, why this person becomes this person and why this person becomes that person. So
yeah, they should bring the What If series back. That would be kind of interesting.
I always enjoyed it. They were... I mean, of course, we were little then, too, but that's my enough said recommendation.
Awesome.
Do you have one?
I don't, man. I didn't understand the rules of this.
Well, there's no real rule.
I slacked off.
Well, there's the real reason. Slacker.
Yeah. Well, you want to wrap this puppy up?
Sure.
Where do they reach us?
They can reach you at Jack Sutherland on the Twitter machine. I'm at Rombar316. The show is at Ultimate Marvel Pod, or you can send us an email at ultimatemarvelpodcast@gmail.com.
Sweet.
Well, I guess that wasn't so bad after all. Until next time, stay marvelous.
It looks like I'm going to have to be farting, fighting the dark side soon.
What a way to start.
Yeah.